It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's good to be back on the air. Barbecue Bob and I got a little dance with Rona.
And, the woo flu, gotcha.
Yeah, so we had to take a couple weeks off and recuperate so as we weren't infecting Trevor and all the other people that are here at the station. But we're back, and Barbecue Bob had a little sabbatical with his bride scheduled this week. So joining me in the studio is a familiar voice. If you've been a Grilling Guys listener for a while, it's the baritone of beer, Chaz Thompson. Hey, Chaz, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Randy. I'm glad you called.
Yeah, yep, so am I, because this is going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to this show. But before we dive in too deep, here we are in the middle of February, and you're a man of many talents, but one of which is you're a international ice fisherman. And I got to believe with this huge cold snap that we've dealt with over the last, 10, 12 days and the foot of snow that we've got around where we are, that probably slowed your ice fishing down a little bit, didn't it?
Well, we took a couple of days off because it was pretty much dangerously cold out there.
Right.
And even with the great suits that we wear, it's just not comfortable, and to take friends, it's probably not safe.
Right, and you're trying to take a fish off the hook if you're pan fishing, and you either got a glove on and it's your dexterity's gone, or you take your gloves off to do it, and then you got a wet hand and wind chill that's 10, 15 below.
The guys with the pop-up shelters and such,
right.
You've helped me at events where we've dealt with that pop-up in
right,
the wind.
Yeah, right.
Wind don't cooperate with pop-ups.
Yeah, I seem to remember grilling some hot dogs for some Boy Scouts on Reed's Lake here in West Michigan, and I was inside a tent, and a gust of wind popped up, knocked that grill right in my lap, man. And that grill probably weighs 50 pounds, but that wind, that tent was like a sail. It just moved across there.
And hot dogs and chili sauce everywhere.
Man. Yeah, and somebody said, well, why didn't you pick it up? It was just the ice. It's like, well, it was so slippery that day. We had put sawdust down, so all the dogs and everything fell in the sawdust, so we just started over. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But
yeah, the fish have been biting, though.
They have.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in West Michigan, and I don't need your fishing hole secrets, but what are you seeing for ice, and what do you think they're biting on?
We're seeing, 8 inches plus in the Grand Rapids area. You're 5-6 inches even safe down, almost down to the border of Indiana there. The guys have been down, Duck Lake out there in the southern part of the state. The guys have been just pounding the bluegills down there on that stuff.
Right.
And this cold snap's really helped get the fish moving and such.
Yeah.
And those people for the past couple of years have had a hard time getting ice. And
right.
No issue now. Maybe it's here now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is here now. Now, are you still competing in the ice circuit? Is that still a part of your world?
Well, we took a year off from the Nationals, National Tournament Circuit, although we're going this weekend to help administrate up at be at Houghton Lake later today.
Okay.
And tomorrow, Sunday morning, we're going to be doing some of the administrative work on weighing in fish and all that kind of stuff for the NAIFC tournament on Houghton Lake.
Okay. And is that all about panfish, or is that anything you can catch? How's that work?
That is panfish. You turn in 8 bluegill and 8 crappie for a 2-man team.
Okay.
You can also tag one of those fish as your big fish.
Okay.
And there's usually a side pot on that,
Yeah, yeah, right.
So
you cull them. Or are you throwing them all on the ice and you just grab the 8 and 8 that are the best ones?
Michigan says 25 per person, so you can have 50 fish out of the water at any time. But there's going to be some obvious little ones that are going to go right back down the hole.
Yep.
And there's nothing saying that the ones that you turn in, don't go back in your bucket afterwards, so you can go clean some fish.
Go home and fillet them. And that's a great segue into what the rest of this show is going to be about is with filleting fish, you need a knife, right? And Chaz and I have been maybe sharing a pint here and there and talking about a show for the future, that the future has arrived. And we're going to do a knife show today. And we've got some interesting people. Got a guy that makes custom knives. We've got a chef that teaches at the culinary school knife skills. And then,
well, knives are such an important part of what you do. And I think I've been ashamed sometimes to go to some people's grilling setup, and their knives are not up to snuff.
Not up to snuff. They're terrible. I mean, I'm most of my friends that have knives, one, don't take care of them, and two, they're kind of sharp if you're only cutting butter.
Yeah.
But beyond that, those are the ones that hurt you, right? I mean, if you got a dull knife, that's if you got a saw on things to get through it, that's when knives slide and cuts happen.
I was the other day, I was at an event, and young lady was out there, and she's dicing up tomatoes for a taco bar.
Right.
And she's making ketchup.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Her knife was so dull. I said, give me 5 minutes with that knife.
Right.
I went
right.
to the truck and got some tools that I always carry because
right.
you know me.
Right.
And I fixed that knife. And then she didn't have a drop of tomato juice on the cutting board after she was using a sharp knife. And she's
right.
like, oh, my God.
Never knew, right? Because
she
that's
says,
all...
I thought you'd throw them away and buy a new one. I'm like, well, the knife selling guys might say that.
Right. Well, and and I think that what we'll find, too, as we go through the show today is for most, like most other things, you get what you pay for with a knife. I mean, and it's the steel that they're made of. It's how the bevel on the edge and how you take care of them. All of that goes into pulling it out of the drawer and having it be sharp. I know when I met my wife, one of the things I did for her the first time was cook for her, right? I mean, if you got it, you got it, right?
Yeah.
You bring it. So, but I was in her kitchen. I wasn't in mine, and I brought over a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to be, you know, that and a bag of chips, and till I got to the knives. And then it was like I had to stop everything. And I'm like, do you have a knife sharpener? And she's like, no. And I said, well, I'll be right back. I went out in my truck and got one that I carry with me everywhere I go. It sounds a little fanatical, but it's absolutely not. If you've ever worked with a sharp knife versus a dull knife, you'll never work with a dull knife again. Yeah, right there, a little Lansky tool or whatever that is. Yep, got
yeah,
the diamond.
Yeah, I carry one with me all right. the time. And it's just very critical to your skill, your swagger at the grill.
Right.
I mean, we always talk about, does your grill look good? You got your setup all arranged?
That's
you got
right.
all the tools you need? A knife is critical.
Right, it is. And you know, there's a lot of different ways. There's stones. There's the little V sharpeners, which are quick little touch-up. If you've got it real serious, you've got a ding in your blade or a nick in your blade, it gets a little more cumbersome to do that kind of stuff. And I realize this sounds a little fanatical, but it's a big part of what we do. But before we get to any of our guests, tell me what you've been grilling. I know you don't ever clip the corner of a man card. You're grilling year-round like I am, and what's been on the grill lately?
Venison.
Venison.
Oh, yeah. I harvested well this past fall, so.
Good man.
I've been doing some nice venison steaks, some kebabs. I've been really getting back into kebabs.
Now, do you marinate those, or do you just take them right out of the pack?
I marinate the meat and the mushrooms.
Okay.
Because the mushroom is just water. So
right.
we got to replace that with something flavorful.
Yeah. Damn if you don't. Right, so, but the what do you like to use in a marinade on your venison?
You got to have a little acid, you got to have some moisture, maybe a little bit of sweetness, not too much, some oil to lube up, and flavors. So
right.
there's always going to be some crushed garlic in there. There's probably going to be some herbs in there, pepper. You got to have a little salt, so you can draw that excess moisture out so that the good stuff can get in.
Right, it's a little swap situation. Yeah,
yeah, and
exactly.
you're going to have that ready, you know. At least 6-7 hours ahead of time.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, it is that time of year to. I spend a lot of time pulling stuff out of the freezer. You know, when it's cold like this, I'm not big on running out and regardless of your political persuasion, our governor has shut down our restaurants all but a little, and I guess those got moved out to March 29 in the last little conference, which is, I'm sorry, but I just disagree with that completely. If you know anybody that lives in our neighboring states, they're eating just fine in all of their restaurants, but unfortunately that can't happen here. So you spend more time at home and eating, and it's just clean out the freezer, and the venison is a good thing to do that with. But coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy by the name of Corey Miller, He's from Miller Custom Knives. You're not going to want to miss this one because this guy starts out with a steel rod and turns it into a family heirloom. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.